The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor in Judah, and Herod was the ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Tyria and Trachonitis, and Licinius, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the regions around Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book, in the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and every crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. If you were here last week, I told you that Advent began last week in the church year. It's the beginning of our church year. Along with the new church year comes a focus on another set of readings. Like many mainline Protestant and denominations in Canada and the United States, the Episcopal Church uses something called the Revised Common Lectionary to determine our readings for each week. Now, before I tell you a little bit more about the Revised Common Lectionary, I want to share a personal story about how a lectionary can bring people together. It's kind of a funny sidelight, at least for me. Now, the Roman Catholic Church also uses the Revised Common Lectionary. And when I was ordained a priest in the Episcopal Church, well, let's just say that my devout Roman Catholic mother was not thrilled with that. I'll just leave it at that. But it was mainly because it was not her experience of seeing a woman up front as a priest. So we didn't argue or anything like that, but I would call her every week. And every week, we'd talk on Sunday. And she, one week, asked me this, what did you preach on this week? I don't know what she thought I was going to be preaching on, but anyway, I told her the gospel reading that I was preaching on, and she got so excited on the phone. She said, that's the same reading we had in Mass today. Wow, that was a revelation. And so every Sunday, without fail, she would ask, well, what did you preach on this week? And I would tell her, and she was like, that's the same reading, but you did it a little differently. But she was just so excited. Finally, when I went to visit her, I asked her if she wanted to come to the Episcopal Church with me. And I was shocked that she said, yes. So she came with me, and it was kind of like the first time that she asked me about what I was preaching on. She sat there. She didn't take communion. I mean, you know, one step at a time. But she said, after the service, she said, that is just like our service. I'm like, yeah, we're just Catholic light. Yeah. So that was, but after that, after she actually came with me, I never had to explain why I was a priest anymore. Sometimes we just need to keep an open mind when we experience something different, and we can appreciate our differences, something to keep in mind always. Now, I want to go back to the lectionary, though. Our Revised Common Lectionary rotates readings from Scripture on a 3-year cycle so that more of our scripture is heard in our services over that 3-year period. If you were ever wondering why there's year A, year B, and year C on the front of your bulletin, now you know. Each year focuses on a different gospel. In year A, we focus on Matthew. Year B is Mark. And year C, which we have just moved into last week, is Luke's gospel. Now, I know you Bible scholars out there are saying, but we have 4 gospels. Okay, are we just leaving John out there in the wilderness? No, it's a different John anyway, but we're not leaving John behind. John's gospel gets sprinkled into the 3 years, so we hear all 4 gospels over that 3-year period. I've always been fascinated by the different perspectives of our gospel writers. Maybe that's why for this year, for Advent, I picked this book for our Advent study, Christmas in the 4 Gospel Homes. This book focuses on the different perspectives of how the different gospel writers approach the Christmas narrative. Now, we've already done Mark and Matthew, and this week we're coming up on Luke. And so, of course, I'd looked ahead because I'm kind of the teacher in that class, so it was probably good for me to look ahead. It also gave me my sermon this week, so I was really glad I looked ahead. Our gospel reading this morning is from Luke, which introduces John the Baptist. Unlike all the other gospel writers, Luke was a Greek and not Jewish before becoming a Christian. Luke traveled around with Paul, but because he was also a historian, he talked to many of the other apostles as well as the first disciples of Jesus in order to write his account of the good news of Jesus Christ. Luke starts his gospel this way. Since many have undertaken to compile a narrative about the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed on to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, I too decided, as one having a grasp on everything from the start, to write a well-ordered account for you, most excellent Theophilus. What's with the names this week? I don't know. So that you may have a firm grasp of the words in which you have been instructed. So Luke, being a historian, wants to set the record straight that this is going to be research, that what he's writing is going to be good information that we're getting. And then, continuing on in Luke's gospel, chapter 1, verse 4, he says, "And in the time of Herod, king of Judah." Chapter 2, verse 1, starts this way. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree." And finally, in the gospel reading that we have this morning, chapter 3, in Luke's gospel, it says, "In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judah, and Herod was ruler of Galilee." I'm not going to go any further because I've already said those names one time too many. Many early theologians thought Luke did this date time stamp in the gospel because he wanted to place it in history. Of course he did, because he was a historian. But many theologians today think Luke had some other purposes in mind, namely locating these writings theologically and politically. Now, if you're in my Wednesday Bible study, some of this is going to be a spoiler alert, but you've already read your book, so I know you'd have, so it won't be too bad. Our book in the Christmas and the 4 Gospels quotes N.T. Wright, a retired Anglican bishop, and what I think is one of the greatest theologians of our time. And we need to go back to chapter 2 in Luke's gospel to set up our reading today. And Wright says this, and I'm going to read it right out of the book because I didn't want to write it down again. So I'm going to read it right out of the book. N.T. Wright says this, Augustus was the adopted son of Julius Caesar. He became sole ruler of the Roman world after a bloody civil war in which he overpowered all rival claimants. He turned the great Roman Republic into an empire. With himself at the head, he proclaimed that he had brought justice and peace to the world, the whole world, and declaring his dead adoptive father to be divine, styled himself as son of God. Augustus, people said, was the savior of the world. He was its king, its lord. Increasing in the eastern part of his empire, people worshiped him too as a god. So that is the context that our gospel reading comes into today. As Luke tells us, in the early, John the Baptist enters the scene, pointing to the one that would come after him. John begins to right some wrongs. You see, worshiping the emperor had become the norm of many Roman communities, and communities that were now pointing to Jesus as the only king, the only one to worship as God with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God with three persons. As Luke tells us in the early readings, John is set apart from birth to be the herald of the one who would come, the Messiah. John proclaimed a baptism for the forgiveness of sins. You see, John came to start people on the right path, the wrongs of society who were worshiping political leaders. We hear about John's ministry way before the Gospel Luke even existed, Gospel writer Luke. In our reading from Malachi, from the Hebrew scriptures, it is John that it is written, "See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me." And then Luke quotes the prophet Isaiah from chapter 40, verses 3 through 5, also in the Hebrew scriptures. And he says this, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh will see the salvation of God." In John's days, before a king took a trip, messengers would tell those he was planning to visit to prepare the roads for the king. We do this the same way today, don't we? When we know that we have company coming over, we clean up our houses, prepare our guest rooms, we get ready for our important company. Last week, when my son and his wife came to visit, we made sure the guest room and the bathroom were ready and for them, and the house was clean. Why? Well, it's not because they noticed that the house was clean, I can tell you that. I'm sure they're not even watching today, so. But it is because we didn't want to be distracted by the things that would bother us so that we could focus on our important guests. Similarly, John told his listeners to make their lives ready so that the Lord could come to them, to prepare for Jesus' coming, which is what our Advent season is all about. We must focus on Jesus, listening to his teachings and respond obediently to the directions that he gives us for our lives. John's ministry began to herald in righting the wrongs of how people lived and who they worshiped, but it would be Jesus' coming into the world that would right all the wrongs of the world. When we listen and focus on Jesus, then we can get through anything this world throws at us. Jesus' teachings and example give us hope in a dark world. And we are not unique in humanity to live in times that get us down. In Luke's time, things were very dark. I hope the hope of the good news that our gospel writer Luke sets forth for us is not just for his time, but it is for all of us here today and for generations to come. Our straight path in life can only come with repentance of our sins and following the straight path of Jesus. Now, being someone that has arthritis and has had it for many, many years and has a physical disability, I'm encouraged by the words of the prophet Isaiah that Luke quotes this morning. Think about what Isaiah is truly saying, what he's telling all of us. If the valleys are filled in and the mountains and hills are cut down, if crooked roads are straightened and paved smooth, then we have no obstacles in reaching God. No matter what life has brought us, Isaiah says the plain is leveled for everyone. That is what Jesus does for us. But we need to prepare for him. We need to be ready in this Advent time. When we truly receive Jesus within our hearts and the minds ready for him, then we can see righting the wrongs of this world. For we are all part of making it so when we listen and follow Jesus. As we prepare for the coming of our Savior this Advent, let us get ready through repentance, as John has put forth to us, and acting in this world as Jesus has already taught us. Amen.